It's like a never-ending game of cat and mouse, right? The digital world just doesn't quit, and neither do the threats that live in it.
You think you've got them figured out?
Yeah,
You
man.
switch it up?
Yeah. You get comfortable, and then boom.
Exactly.
Totally new thing to worry about. Today, we're going deep on some pretty big developments, actually, surrounding a known backdoor and some seriously enhanced versions that are making waves.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to be looking closely at some cutting-edge cybersecurity research all about the Sparrow Door backdoor and the group behind it. Famous Sparrow.
Okay.
The latest intel is pointing to attacks that happened back in July 2024, and they targeted organizations in both the U.S. and Mexico.
Famous Sparrow, that name might ring a bell for some of our listeners, but for those who haven't encountered them before, can you give us the rundown on who they are and why they're on our radar?
Sure. Famous Sparrow is a pretty sophisticated cyber espionage group. They've been active since at least 2019. A lot of experts think they're aligned with China, and they've gone after a whole bunch of different sectors around the world.
Early on, they got noticed because they were exploiting vulnerabilities that were already publicly known.
Mm.
You know, they were really hitting those Microsoft Exchange systems especially hard.
Right. So they kind of started out by taking advantage of existing weaknesses. What's changed? What makes this new activity stand out?
The thing that makes Famous Sparrow really unique is that they keep coming back to their own custom malware called Sparrow Door.
Mm.
They're not just using off-the-shelf tools. They're actually building and constantly improving their own. And these new versions they've come up with are a big jump in terms of what Sparrow Door can do.
So for everyone listening in today, our goal is to break down those new capabilities in Sparrow Door and really understand what they mean for organizations like yours.
Yep.
We want to cut through all the hype and give you those key insights you need to stay ahead of this threat as it keeps evolving.
Absolutely.
So let's start with where these new versions popped up. The research we're looking at here tracked these new Sparrow Door variants being used in attacks that happened in July of this year, 2024. The targets they found were a U.S. trade group that operates in the financial sector and a research institute over in Mexico.
Finance and research, those are definitely high-value targets. So that right away tells you something about how seriously we need to take these attacks.
Mm-hmm.
What makes this specific campaign different from what we've seen before?
So this campaign is important for a couple of big reasons. First off, this is the first time we've actually seen Famous Sparrow using a modular version of Sparrow Door.
Hmm.
You can think of it like a core piece of malware that can load up extra features whenever it needs to.
Okay.
Second, they also use an upgraded version of Sparrow Door that looks a lot like another backdoor called Crow Door. But honestly, the most alarming thing is this campaign marks the first time we've seen Famous Sparrow using ShadowPad.
ShadowPad, yeah, that's a name that gets attention. Isn't that a tool that's been connected to a wider range of groups?
That's right. ShadowPad is really sophisticated, it's commercially available, and it's often linked to different Chinese state-sponsored cyber espionage groups.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing it in Famous Sparrow's toolkit could mean a few things. Maybe they've found ways to get new tools, possibly through working with other actors or sharing resources.
Right.
Or it could be even more worrying. It might point to some level of coordination or resource sharing happening within that whole APT landscape. This is a big clue for you about how these groups might be connected.
So we're looking at this evolved custom malware plus a really serious tool like ShadowPad. How did these attacks actually happen? What were the steps involved in getting into these organizations' systems?
It was a multi-stage approach.
Okay.
The attackers got that initial access to the target networks by taking advantage of known vulnerabilities, things that were already out there in outdated Microsoft Exchange and Windows Server installations. It's kind of a classic way in, you know. It shows how dangerous unpatched systems can be. They're still a major risk.
Right. Those unpatched systems are like open invitation.
Yeah.
Okay, so they get that initial access. What's next?
All right. So after that initial breach, they put in a malicious web shell. They did this using a batch script that grabbed a Base64 encoded .NET web shell from a remote server. It's a common way to hide what they're doing at first.
So that first compromise sets up the web shell. What does that web shell actually do in the attack?
The web shell is like their staging area. Hmm. They use it to deploy the main malware. That's where the Sparrow Door variants come in. Both the modular version and the upgraded one that looks like Crow Door and even the ShadowPad malware, they all get dropped onto those compromised systems through the web shell. Think of it like the web shell gives them that initial foothold and lets them bring in their heavier tools.
So it's the delivery system for the main payload. Once Sparrow Door is on a system, what can the attackers actually do with it?
Sparrow Door acts like a full-blown backdoor, giving the attackers ongoing access to that infected system. They can run whatever commands they want, move files in and out of the machine, even set up full remote control through an interactive shell. It's basically like having a secret backdoor into your system.
Right, so that's the basics. Now let's get into what makes these new Sparrowdoor versions so much more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
What are the key upgrades and new features that we really need to watch out for?
One of the big improvements is something researchers are calling enhanced parallel command execution. Basically, Sparrowdoor can now handle multiple tasks at the same time, even if they take a while to run, without messing up any other operations.
Oh, why?
So let's say they're stealing a ton of data. They can still run new commands and keep their access without causing any slowdowns that might tip someone off. It makes them a lot more efficient.
Multitasking malware, that sounds like a nightmare for anyone trying to defend against it. What else have they added?
One of the variants has a modular architecture, which is a huge development. What this means is Sparrowdoor now supports plugins. The attackers can basically add or remove features whenever they need to. Instead of just one big chunk of malware, they've got a core framework that they can customize with specific modules depending on what they're trying to do in your environment.
So it's like adding specialized tools to a Swiss Army knife. What kind of modules are we talking about here?
Exactly. Researchers have already found a bunch of them. There's CMD for running regular system commands, CKeylog plug for logging every keystroke, which means they can steal passwords and all kinds of sensitive data. CSocket lets them set up a TCP proxy, which basically means they can route all their communications through that infected machine.
Oh, wow.
Then you've got Ctrans for managing file transfers. CRDP can take screenshots to see what users are doing. Cfile Monitor keeps track of any changes in specific folders. And Cpro lets them control running processes. That means they could even shut down security software if they wanted to. It's a super flexible toolkit that they can change up however they need to inside your systems.
That level of customization makes them so adaptable to different environments.
Exactly. It gives them a lot of flexibility to adjust their attacks based on what they find in the network they've compromised and what their goals are.
Wow.
And then there's the improvements they've made to their anti-detection techniques.
Right. That's the constant battle between the attackers and the defenders.
Yeah.
What are they doing to stay under the radar now?
A few things, actually. They're encrypting all their command and control traffic with RC4, so it's harder for network monitoring tools to figure out what's being sent back and forth.
Okay.
They're also using something called DLL sideloading to hide their malicious code. They make it look like legitimate software components are being loaded. It's like a legitimate application is expecting a delivery from their usual supplier, but the truck secretly has something else entirely inside because the labeling is similar.
DLL sideloading, that's sneaky. Anything else they're using?
Yep. They've also been seen disguising their malware as regular software. For example, one file was named k7avwscn.exe, which probably tries to blend in with security processes that you might see running.
Oh, that's clever.
And they're using something called dynamic command, relaying through name pipes, which is like having a secret communication channel inside the system. It makes it way harder to track how commands are moving around in your infrastructure.
So they're not just trying to slip in unnoticed. Mm. They're actively trying to look like they belong there. What about making sure they stay put? How does Sparrowdoor maintain that persistence?
Sparrowdoor is built to be tough and persistent. It sets itself up to run automatically, either as a service or through registry run keys. That means even if you reboot the infected system, the back door will just start right back up.
Wow.
And here's the interesting part. It can also uninstall itself probably after it's done what it needs to do. They're trying to cover their tracks, which tells you they know what they're doing.
They're not just getting in and getting out. They're cleaning up after themselves.
Mm.
Let's go back to ShadowPad for a minute. You said it's really important. Why is it such a big deal that it's showing up with Sparrowdoor?
ShadowPad is a really serious commercially available backdoor. The reason it stands out here is because it's usually linked to a bunch of different Chinese state-sponsored APT groups, not just Famous Sparrow.
Okay.
In this specific campaign, they saw it being injected into the legitimate WMPlayer.exe process. That's Windows Media Player, right?
Right.
They were abusing a legitimate Office Input Method Editor, IME binary, to do it. And they used DLL sideloading, which is the same trick we just talked about with Sparrowdoor.
So they're not only using this powerful tool that's connected to other groups, they're using the same sneaky techniques to get it in there. What does it mean for the threat landscape that Famous Sparrow is adding ShadowPad to their toolkit?
The fact that they're using Shadowpad now raises a bunch of big questions for you. It could mean they've got access to new tools, maybe because they're working with other threat actors or even sharing resources.
Right.
It definitely makes their activities a lot more dangerous because Shadowpad has a long track record and a ton of malicious capabilities. And it could also be a sign that we're seeing more coordination or shared infrastructure within all these Chinese APT groups, which is a major concern for the cybersecurity community.
Which brings us to those possible connections to other groups that you mentioned before. It sounds like there's some overlap or interaction going on there.
Yeah, some researchers have noticed potential overlaps and similarities between Famous Sparrow and other groups like Salt Typhoon, Ghost Emperor, or Earth Estries. They often base these ideas on things like shared infrastructure, specific coding patterns in their malware, or even using similar tactics, techniques, and procedures, the TTPs that we talk about a lot in cybersecurity. But here's the thing, ESET, the researchers who first discovered and have been tracking Famous Sparrows, they still think it's a separate group.
So they're not definitely linked, but there are hints that they might be working in a similar environment or maybe even sharing resources.
Exactly. We don't know for sure what these connections are yet, but the signs definitely point to possible collaboration, resource sharing, or at the very least, they're aware of and maybe even adopting techniques used by other actors in that whole threat landscape.
This is a pretty concerning picture for anyone who's responsible for security. So for everyone listening out there, whether you're a seasoned security pro or just trying to understand the risks, what are the big takeaways from all of this? What does it mean for organizations in general?
The most important thing for you to take away is that nation-state-backed malware is constantly getting more advanced and more sophisticated. Groups like Famous Sparrow are always refining their tools and techniques so they can avoid detection and reach their goals.
Right.
This case really highlights how vulnerable organizations are when they're still relying on older systems that haven't been patched. Bad patch management and not having good enough endpoint protection basically makes it easy for these kinds of advanced attacks to succeed.
It shows that proactive security isn't just a good idea. It's absolutely necessary in this ever-changing landscape.
I completely agree. And it's not just about having security tools. It's about making sure those tools are always up to date, set up correctly, and that your organization knows what to do and has people who are trained to respond effectively when threats inevitably pop up.
So to recap for you, we've seen new, more advanced versions of Famous Sparrow's Sparador backdoor. It's got modularity now and even better stealth capabilities. We also talked about how they've added Shadowpad to their arsenal, which could mean they're working with other groups in the Chinese APT world. And all of this points to a threat that's constantly growing and changing, especially for organizations that haven't prioritized their security.
That's it in a nutshell. For you, understanding these advanced threats and how they're evolving gives you valuable context. It helps you prioritize your security efforts and understand the kinds of adversaries you might be facing. It's all about being informed so you can make better decisions about security.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Famous Sparrow and their upgraded Sparrow Door, it makes you think about what cyber attacks might look like in the future. This move towards modular malware, the ability to just add and remove features as they need them, feels like it could completely change how these attacks are carried out and how we defend against them.
That's a really good point. The modularity we're seeing here gives threat actors a lot more agility and adaptability in how they operate.
Right.
This raises a critical question. How can you effectively defend against something that can constantly change its functionality based on your defenses and what it wants to achieve inside your network? It means we need a much more dynamic and proactive approach to security than ever before.
Definitely something to think about. Thanks for explaining all of this. It's a good reminder that in cybersecurity, if you're not moving forward, you're falling behind.
My pleasure. It was great to be here.
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning into this deep dive. Until next time, stay safe out there.